John Ledyard, you've heard him a bunch on our show from Inside the Pylon, covers the NFL draft. John, good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is my first time down here at the Combine, and it's been a great experience so far. I've been to the Senior Bowl twice and loved that and was curious to see what this would be like because it's different. There's not that playing football aspect of it, which I'm very fond of as an evaluator, but this is fun, man. This is really good time to, you know, talk to the prospects, get to know them a little bit, but also see how those athletic scores and how their athletic testing matches up with the tape that you spent so much time studying. So for me, it's just a big thrill to see that firsthand.
Let me ask you about two or three guys, okay? I want you to give me some names that you saw during the Senior Bowl practices that maybe not everybody has on the tip of their tongues that you said, you know what? I'm really interested to see what happens when they get to the combine.
Yeah, I think Derek Rivers from Youngstown State is one of those guys that I think is going to do really, really well here and surprise people. A defensive end, 3-4 outside linebacker type. But when I watched him on tape, I said, this guy's, he's listed at 6'4". No way he's 6'4". And I thought he was like 6'2", and he measures in. He's 6'4", and I think I was deceived because he plays that low and leveraged all the time.
Wow. You know,
just a powerful guy at the point of attack. But when you're playing that low and leveraged, man, it means you're bending in all the right places. You have all that lower body flexibility. That means you can convert speed to power at a higher rate coming out of your stance. That means that you can do things like bend the edge and play those speed counter games on the outside. For a pass rusher, man, that's everything. So he does that not only as a pass rusher, also as a run defender. Those guys are playing under Bo Pelini. Those guys are playing in a good system.
Right.
They're getting good coaching, and he and his running mate Avery Moss, the other defensive end there, both of them show really good technique, hand placement, power coming out of their stances at the point of attack against the run. Like both of those guys, but really like Rivers. Think after this weekend, he'll work his way into that second round conversation. Obi Melifonwu, the safety from UConn, really impressive Senior Bowl. I think that's carried over as people have watched and studied his tape more.
You're the second guy that's mentioned him, by the way.
Am I? Yeah, because I think he's, I kind of went in this, there's a Senior Bowl hype and he's big and he looks good when he gets out on the stage and you kind of think, okay, I'm going to put on the tape and he's not going to match up quite as much. Then I put on the tape and I was really impressed. So I went in actually, you try and stay away from bias as much as you can. I went in actually thinking that he'd be worse, and then I put on the tape and I thought, this guy's really impressive. He can tackle extremely well. Moving forward, attacks things really well. Great angles, wraps up, hitting power. I think he's going to be great against the run. I think he can step in and play that big slot role against tight ends and the Larry Fitzgerald, bigger receiver types. The teams are starting to move into the slot. So he's a mismatch guy. Takes away your mismatches, and I think he gives you a real weapon on defense.
There's another guy I want to ask him about, John. It's a guy that John and I are familiar with at the FCS level. Guy wound up playing in the NFLPA, then in the Senior Bowl. Had four picks and then a forced fumble, and that would be Lorenzo Jerome, yeah. The safety out of St. Francis.
He actually, St. Francis is about 45 minutes from where I live, so he's very close to me.
And you know him.
Very close to me. Yes, I know him, and he's a great kid. I think he's very dedicated to film work in the game. If you watch Lorenzo Jerome's tape, you will see a safety unlike anybody else in this class. Very unique player. Almost runs around and freelances and baits quarterbacks and interceptions.
He does do that, you're right.
It's really crazy. He's a very unique, and maybe they just said, you know what, you're more talented than everybody else, we're going to cut you loose. And so there's some concerns with will that project to the NFL as well. But I think with him, what's very interesting is that there's clear ball skills, some of the best instincts in the class. He's not going to go high, and I don't think he'll test off the charts there, but I think his agility drills, his short air quickness, very good. I was also blown away by him as a return man. I mean, very talented return man without having crazy elite athletic tools. Just, he's almost like a running back when he has the ball in his hands. Really good vision in the open field. So I bet he goes day three, but I bet he starts for a team sooner than later, especially if you can get him in like a robber role, an underneath strong safety type. He'll come up and pop you against the run too. You know, there's some angles and some wrapping up things, and I think he'll get beat a time or two because he likes to take his chances, but the guy has great instincts, and I think he can really go get the ball in the air. He's going to turn people over. Those interceptions, not a misnomer. I think that where they were for Gerard Holliman, if you remember from Louisville a couple years ago, couldn't tackle him. He was these 14 picks. That's so exciting. You watched on tape, half of them were like tip balls and just ones that landed in his lap. That's not what you see with Jerome. I think he had 18 picks during his time at St. Francis. Those are legit picks.
I want to go deeper on the safety class. It's one class that you really haven't talked much about this weekend because the Giants had Darian Thompson last year. Looked like he was going to be the starter. They have Landon Collins. If Thompson's back healthy, they have their starters. But people have said this is an extremely deep safety class, one of the best you'll see. Who are some of the safeties you think guys aren't talking about enough that could go between rounds 3 and 5, let's say, that can come in and be a factor in the NFL, primarily in the coverage role? Because I really think That's what you need now in the safety position in the NFL. You need guys that can run with the tight end, can play guys up the seam, can play that single high, get sideline to sideline.
Well, Jerome's one for sure. I think Marcus Williams from Utah is interesting, and I'm really just curious to see what he tests here because I like him on tape a good bit, and he plays like a single high role, and he can give you some of that back-end coverage I think that you want, some of that range on the back end. But I wonder how athletic he is sideline to sideline. How explosive is he? He seems kind of like a one-speed guy at times. And I don't know – I haven't seen enough yet to know how much he'll give you in the run game too. But in terms of coverage on the back end, I think he fits really well. Tedrick Thompson from Colorado is really interesting because you have the separation of the two aspects of playing safety, the two general aspects, run defense and coverage. And when you break those down, coverage, range to play single high, ball skills to go make interceptions from single high, going to turn people over a little bit like Jerome in that way, but also can step into the slot and is really quick and explosive short area, change of direction, and I think can mirror guys and play in the slot. Ask him to play in run support, though, and you're going to get a guy who ducks out of tackle opportunities. And, I mean, he comes up aggressive, and then the lineman's pulling for him, and he's out of there, man. And so he's making the business decisions in the run game a little bit. So if you can live with that, because he is aggressive when he has a chance to get somebody with a shot, and, you know, their back's turned, he's going to send a message. But so he is aggressive in some ways, and he's got legit ball skills. Some team is going to overlook the run game deficiencies and take him in that 3rd to 5 range, I think, because of how athletic he is and how much he gives you in coverage.
You know, more and more of these guys are coming out early. We know that. It's been now for several years, the trend about that. And in the NFL, because of the CBA, they're not doing a lot of hitting. There's not a lot of extra coaching going on during the offseason. And so how hard does that make it for a guy like you who goes to the Senior Bowl? You're trying to project guys, but the truth of the matter is you know they may not get the polish that they need to succeed at the next level, especially quickly.
I think one of the biggest things is making sure that they have the traits, and that's why something like the combine I think is so critical, because making sure they have the traits to make the jump. Okay, so especially when you're scouting smaller school guys, FCS level guys, other guys like that, they may look great on tape against that level of competition, and I may get really excited about it, but I always say I've got to see him at the combine because I want to see how does their testing compare to what I'm seeing on tape. Is it just because of that level of competition, or are they really on the same level athletically? Because I can see they can do it technically. I can see that they have refinement and polish, but I want to see how what their athletic ceiling is. The other side of that is some of those guys will come here, blow it up here, and do really well at the combine, but you wonder about, like what you're saying, is about the technique and the refinement, the mental processing side of it. I think that's where the tape comes in. And when you're talking about DBs, that's where being able to see all 22 comes in, especially safeties and things like that. How do they see routes develop? Do they take false steps? Do they bite on play action one step, two steps, consistently? When do they recover? How quickly do they recover? It's okay to bite and lean forward. You can't get way out of position. You can't abandon your assignments. So knowing how to measure those things, I think, is critical too. But for coaches and for these teams and scouts, that is why the whiteboard sessions and the meetings are so important, because everybody's got weaknesses on tape. Mm-hmm. What these guys want to find out are, can I fix those weaknesses? Is the player coachable enough for me to fix those weaknesses? And is this player have the skill, the ability, the mental processing, the mental ability to be able to fix those weaknesses in time? I think that's something that teams and coaches, and they have inside info on that sometimes as evaluators, that's what the part I miss out on. And
sure.
That's what I blame all my missed picks on over the years.
John Ledyard inside the pylon. If you want to get in, well, okay, take a couple draft calls with them as well at 201-939-4513. Get on the lines. I'll try to squeeze in before we say goodbye in about 7 or 8 minutes. John, when you take a look at this draft class overall and you look at where the Giants pick at 23, where do you think the depth and talent match up well for the Giants when they're going to come on the clock in that first round? And I'll make it challenging. Second round, too.
Well, I think tight end is a position they've got to look pretty heavily at. To me, Eli Manning really helps him when he has a good tight end. I think early in his career he had good tight ends, and when he started playing his best, that was a big asset for him. And I think that if they can bring that back again, get a game changer at the tight end position, I think that's critical for these guys. You know, I think that getting somebody like that could match up in the first round. It could be an asset, a position that they look at. You hope that David Njoku doesn't run in the 4.3s maybe this weekend because he's going to be gone if he does. Maybe you hope he's a low 5.45s guy, and, you know, you don't want him to be so bad that you diminish him on your board, but you don't want him to be so
give
good.
Give him some extra bread at lunch. That'll
exactly,
take care of it.
Right. So maybe slip something to him. Give him a little of that water weight. But, yeah, I think that's going to be key, I think, because guys like him and O.J. Howard, teams are going to be tempted because it's not a deep wide receiver class. And those guys, they're tight ends, sure, but they're offensive weapons. And so when teams are going to want to get their hands on those guys earlier than not, because the wide receiver class is solid, but there's only a couple of those number one types. These guys can be number one type passing attack options in your offense. So I think that's going to be big for those guys. That could match up with them, or they could slide their way out of the board. I'm trying to think about the Giants' needs, but I think that offensive tackles may slide a little bit more in this class because it isn't an elite. There's a top 10 caliber guy maybe in this class, and also because other positions of importance like edge rusher and quarterback and defensive back are very, very talented. So those guys may go a little bit earlier. Offensive tackles may slide a little bit. Right after the Giants, I think there's a run of teams that would be interested in tackle. They kind of start that area a little bit unless somebody's reaching ahead of them maybe for a position. But I think they kind of start that. So they may have their pick of the litter of some pretty good tackle options in the class, which could be of benefit to them. Garrett Bowles is here. Loved what he had to say the other day when he was at the podium. Cam Robinson's working out today and looked really good in the drills so far. You know, both of those guys could be really good options for them on the offensive line, and they'd certainly need the tackle help, I think.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I came out here and trying to address the Giants' needs, trying to look at not necessarily the first-round pick, but as John said, second-round pick, third-round pick, fourth round. We talked a lot with the guys who have been in this chair about running back. Giants need to get another power back. Giants could maybe use another pass rusher to increase the depth at defensive end. These may not be first-round areas that they look to, but are there guys in those, again, second, third, fourth round at those spots? I think that's more to what maybe John was trying to get to, right?
Yeah, and I think that I didn't answer that part of your question, John. I'm sorry. But that second-round aspect's important. First, let me say something that's going to get Giants fans crazy for a little bit. Leonard Fournette jumped 28.5 inches in the vertical, which is poor. Even for his size, that's poor. So let's say he doesn't run as fast in the 40.
He's not going to 23. Are you kidding
me? Let's get
the
speculation
going. Are you kidding me?
You know, Paul, I'll tell you what, though. I've heard a lot of people mimic what John just said right there. Not that he's going to maybe drop to 23, but I will guarantee when all is said and done,
yeah,
I bet you Dalvin Cook goes ahead of him in this draft.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah, I think Dalvin Cook does. The reason I mainly think Fournette could fall, and it wouldn't be shocking to me, and 23 may be a little bit far, but the main reason I think is because the running back position consistently doesn't get valued as highly as we think it should maybe in a vacuum. And so maybe that happens. Is he Ezekiel Elliott's level as a running back? Does Ezekiel Elliott going in the top five and then leading the NFL in rushing, does that change things for the way teams evaluate rushing?
Do you think Fournette's in Elliott's category?
I don't. I think he's a very good player with a very high floor, and I think that needs to be valued appropriately. And so I don't want to come off as being anti-Leonard Fournette. I don't think he's a generational-type running back prospect.
Okay.
And I think Dalvin Cook is better. And I think Joe Mixon's better on tape, but I obviously wouldn't take him or wouldn't draft him. So, anyway, just to say that Fournette, if he fell, there could be an enticing option. Maybe not at 23. Maybe you think about trading up if you think he's that generational type of talent. Again, I'm not advocating that. Just trying to get the speculation stirring everything.
Good radio when he hears it. That's for sure.
Second round, I think Alvin Kamara from Tennessee could be a really good option for the Giants. Could be a possibility. He jumped, I think, 39.5 inches.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
So, yeah, very explosive kid. Is he going to be an every down presence? I think that'll be one of the big questions, I think. Because he never had that feature role at Tennessee. A good player, but it was kind of always used more as a pass catching option until Jalen Hurd decided to move on. Then he moved in and he flashed really strong. So he could be an option. Jamal Williams from BYU, player I love.
I heard a lot about him.
Yeah. Very talented kid. I don't think he's going to blow it up here. But if you put on the tape, very good instincts and sense of where openings are and space are and how to work to them efficiently.
Downhill runner too,
yeah,
right?
Downhill runner, physical, good vision at the second level, I think, once he gets in. Vision at the first level can use improvement. He was off football for like 2 years. Came back and was lighting it up this season. I mean, phenomenal season. So he, Kareem Hunt from Toledo, there's going to be good backs throughout this draft. The Giants will be wise, I think, to go in another direction, unless Fournette falls, then another direction in the first round, I think, and then address that position later on because there's going to be good depth in this class. You're going to be able to get starters, I think, in the second.
John, we got to get to our next guest. Give me a quick prediction for the Giants at 23, and I will let you reserve the right to change it when we have you on closer to the draft.
Yes. Right now I'm going to go David Njoku. I know that's a popular pick to them. I tend to stay away from the popular picks, but to me, the Giants get somebody like that in that offense with OBJ, and I'm a huge Sterling Shepard fan. I could be a game changer for them.
Thanks, John. Great stuff. Yep. Inside the Pylon covers the NFL draft.
Thanks.